RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Gray Gloomy Val and
Beans. I'm a little bit, all right, the weather's on its way, Frank. You've been posting in your Telegram room, and of course, Harold Finch in the library has been keeping us all up to date on the weather, because that's one of his sort of verticals he focuses on.
Yeah.
And incoming is a system across the southeast of the United States that is supposed to bring ridiculously severe weather. And I've actually been being warned about this system for the past like 2 or 3 days that it's going to hit us here in the Carolinas tomorrow.
And are we talking like snow or are we talking a nor'easter?
No, we're talking like we don't get like the nor'easters because of the way we are situated. But this is coming from the west and it is... It is tornadoes, horrible thunderstorms, you know, what you'd usually like to see in the summer, like on a day where it's like too hot and you sit down and you watch and you see thunderstorms.
Jeez. You know, I've been thinking about this, Tracy, a lot. And I was talking about this with Lauren. I said, you know, Aurora was born after thunderstorm season really came and went. So I'm sure between this and people being assholes with fireworks, we're going to have a lot of nights where Aurora's sleep is interrupted. And man, because she doesn't even like when I use the blender right now, Aurora.
Really?
When I make my protein shake, she's like, ah. So what's going to happen when the angels start bowling?
She might like thunderstorms.
I hope she does.
Because fireworks are a different story.
They're fun. They're fun, but yeah, geez.
Speaking of fireworks, did you see what's going on over in California? What happened?
With what?
Something happened where like a whole stockpile of fireworks lit off and killed two people.
Whoa. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's stupid to play it because it's just a woman like running for her life. But these people are like blocks and blocks away. I'm going to send it to you right now. I'll send it to your text message.
But drop it into the Skype.
You make things complicated for me.
What are you talking about?
Because we're using my phone with this, and I'm not on my... Here, I'll do it.
All right, send it through text.
It's coming, all right? Jeez. There you go.
Let's see.
It's in the Skype chat now.
Gotcha. Let me see
here.
Yeah,
take a look at this.
Holy hell. Dramatic footage shows bystanders fleeing as firework explosion rocks a Southern California neighborhood. Authorities say at least two people were killed. Wow. Wait. Where the hell is... Was this like a personal stockpile?
I don't know. Goes on for a good minute and a half. It's bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
And two people killed.
Yeah.
Gee. Oh, and now I don't know. Are they legal in California? I can't imagine. Nothing's legal in California.
No.
So no. This has to be a personal stockpile then.
Or, well, they're legal for distributors and stuff, like professionals. So it could have been a warehouse or it could have been someone who made a bad mistake.
Somebody in the comments said, please tell me it's not a gender reveal.
Oh.
Because, of course, that's what started the wildfires last year.
Yeah, so that's going on. And then, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in Georgia with this whole transcript thing and the recordings and President Trump and everything else. So, Frank, a couple of... I guess it was 2 months ago. So it was before January 6th, but after the election, when the Washington Post released an article talking about a call that President Trump had with Mark Meadows, Cleta Mitchell, Raffensperger, and a few others about election integrity in Georgia. And included in this article, they released the actual call. It was recorded and they released it. And everybody was like, well, who recorded this? because that's pretty crazy that they recorded and released this call. And it was used to criticize Trump. But if you listened to the call and analyzed it, it looked like there was something absolutely brewing with them in Georgia in terms of accountability, which obviously we didn't end up seeing.
This was the call that we that everybody was trying to draw attention to the fact that Trump said, "Find me 12,000 votes."
Yes.
Yeah. But, okay.
Yeah, but he it wasn't.
I know. It's not, listen, if it was anything that they said it would be, these things wouldn't show up and disappear in 2 weeks.
Right. Exactly. But there was also apparently another call that President Trump had with Frances Schultz, one of the lead investigators doing the audit in Cobb County. Remember how they audited that one county that nobody wanted audited?
Yeah.
And he called her and said, "You really should look in Fulton County. What happened is so dishonest and horrible there." That was a great call. But what happened afterwards is a source leaked to the legacy media, particularly the Washington Post, and said, "Hey, this is what he said here." And it misquoted him completely to make it look as though he was trying to influence her to do something, just like what they had tried to do with the other recording. And in the beginning, I was a little bit confused because I thought that they were talking about the same thing. And I was like in some other parallel timeline and nobody remembered it. But then a very astute listener in the Dark to Light podcast Telegram room said, no, this is something else. And I looked into it. So here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
So they launch a criminal investigation into what happened there with President Trump. Because of all this. And they say, this was criminal activity. They used it in the impeachment, but none of the stuff that went in any impeachment was factual anyway. But on the DA got elected there in Fulton County. This is where this criminal investigation is going on. And she is a Democrat. And on February 10th, a letter was released. And it was sent to the governor, Kemp, the lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, and the AG in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the new DA. And I just want to read some of this because I think that nobody's really focused on this. And I think this is where it's at. This letter is notice that the Fulton County District Attorney has opened an investigation into attempts to influence the administration of the 2020 Georgia general election. So everybody jumped to this is about Trump. And I said, well, that doesn't sound like it's definitely about Trump. And it just kind of made me scratch my head as I got further. She says the investigation includes, but is not limited to, potential violations of Georgia law prohibiting the solicitation of election fraud, which is in reference to President Trump. The making of false statements to state and local governmental bodies, conspiracy, racketeering, violation of oath of office, and any involvement in violence or threats related to the elections and administration. It has come to our attention via media reports that contacts were made by subjects of the investigation with other agencies that could be investigating this matter, including the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Georgia. As such, this office is the one agency with jurisdiction that is not a witness to the conduct that is the subject of the investigation. The agency has jurisdiction over this matter because the judicial circuit is where the Georgia's government entities that were contacted are headquartered, including the Office of the Governor, the Secretary of State, and Attorney General, and the General Assembly. Here we go. This record or this letter is notification that all records potentially related to the administration of the 2020 general election must be preserved with particular care. Ready? Being given to set aside and preserve those that may be evidence of attempts to influence the actions of persons who are administering that election. Please remind your staff it's a crime or under Georgia law to destroy records created or received in the performance of government duty other than through the operation of an approved retention schedule. Mm. Be mindful that such records include email messages related to official duties that were sent or received by government employees on both government and non-governmental email accounts. Please remind your employees to preserve any potentially relevant messages that were sent via any email account. This matter is of high priority, blah, 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 blah. At this stage, we have no reason to believe that any Georgia official is a target of this investigation. At this point, this was February 10th.
This is largely going under the radar then.
Right. So a month goes by, and now all of a sudden, this found recording and a retraction so embarrassing that it is front page news in and of itself for days is given by the Washington Post after this official, who they burned, by the way, the source, they burned the Washington Post, burned their source after all of the times that they have gotten information from third party sources. The Washington Post publicly called out the source of their story. It's weird.
If I were any more hopeful about the situation that we're in, I would say that something's brewing. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that still in pursuit of justice that aren't going to let up because they understand. We all understand the implications of what 2020 showed us, and what doors it closes for the future as far as hoping that we'll ever have a system that has integrity at all. So, man, I don't know. How do we keep up with this? Here's the thing. How do we keep up with it? The storyline. How do we track this? And because it seems like you catch this on a I don't know.
It's the same way we've done it the whole time with all this nonsense. Nothing that we're shown is actually what it seems, and everything we're shown is part of something else. So the Washington Post says that it's Jordan Fuchs, the Deputy Secretary of State, who actually leaked to the Washington Post that Donald Trump said something he didn't say at all. And this recording of the call was allegedly found in the investigator's trash folder. So someone was fishing around on her computer and found it. So, you know, when it comes to that, I can't help but make the leap and speculate that it has something to do with this supposed criminal investigation that is not finding any crime committed by Donald Trump, that's for sure. But it might be finding other things. And I'll be honest, she's still a Democrat and they're still Republicans. So regardless of the sort of Trump-esque, the enemy of my enemy is my friend narrative, there could be a chance that she's going to try and take these guys down for whatever they did. I don't know if she'll do it at the expense of the narrative that Biden won Georgia, but if she's a good DA, she will.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just one of those things where, like I said, I'm going to be having to follow your lead and other people's lead on this one because you don't even know the hell it's going on. You just don't know what's happening.
Oh, you know what I got to do last night too, Frank, in regards to this? I was on OAN at 9 p.m. with on Tipping Point. And I got to tell you, it was so awesome. They are so honest. That show, at least that show, it was a breath of fresh air. There was no tiptoeing around things and trying to be gentle about them. It was just raw. And it was great to be able to be on a show like that.
And where can you watch this?
It was on OAN, so I'm not sure.
I probably have it. I don't turn on the television anymore. So anything that comes out of OAN, it's usually that is hosted and shared online somewhere.
Yeah, I did a call. It was part about this Georgia thing, and part was about the story that I published on General Flynn the other day. By the way, General Flynn is Monday. Monday morning, we interview General Flynn, Frank.
Okay, that sounds fine. I have probably 20 different types of questions to ask him, so I want to whittle it down. I got to whittle it down to a couple.
Do you want to hear what happened yesterday? He was in Tulsa doing some kind of like political event. And somebody from a legacy media outlet got him and started asking him questions. You got to hear this. This is freaking genius.
Wunderbar. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me open it. Come on.
Is that the blue end?
He's so smart. Here.
I see that people say that you are a supporter of QAnon.
What is that?
It's an online conspiracy.
Is that the blue end thing?
No, QAnon.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. I see a lot of people supporting it. Some of the stuff they believe in. Do you support it or not?
Do I support what?
QAnon.
What is it?
The online movement.
And what does it do? What does it stand for?
I don't know. I've read that you support it.
Where'd you read that? In True, what's the name of your outfit? True what?
The Tulsa World.
Tulsa World. So did you write about it?
Well, I'm asking you if you support it.
I mean, I'd have to know what it is.
You don't know what it is?
I mean, I know I've heard about it, but what is it? What does it represent?
An online group of people that believe there's conspiracies in government.
An online group that believe that there's conspiracies in government.
Yes.
Are there other online groups that have that same belief or what?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm a
I mean, it was just so good.
Oh, it's wonderful. All you have to do is ask these people questions and they fall because they show up. This is a child that is talking to General Flynn. This is a child with a mask on showing up. Well, I don't know. I mean,
I hear you're conspiracy. A QAnon.
It's a conspiracy. Did you hear that HBO has put out a QAnon doc?
I have a story about that QAnon doc.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear it. Here's the thing about it is I love it because I saw it got – it was tweeted out there by Carol Quigley yesterday. And I said to myself, oh, my God, it's another Blue and On piece on QAnon. and it's just – and
can you explain to people out there what Blue and On is?
On the Urban Dictionary, on urbandictionary.com, which is a website that started up around 1999 when I was in eighth grade. Where you can go to Urban Dictionary and you can add any kind of slang, even if it's just something that is local to your town, whatever the hell it is.
God,
you
was
can
19.
Add anything you are.
Yes.
Well, you can go into this website and add any kind of slang that you wanted to add to the Urban Dictionary. So you show up to Urban Dictionary to find out what a Blumpkin is or a Dirty Sanchez. That's why you go there to Urban Dictionary. Somebody went and put up Blue and – you know what? Hold on. Tracy, please pause.
Yes, sir. I certainly will. All right. After some searching, we found it. Right, Frank?
Yes. Yes. I went through all my notes to myself because I did this last week or the week before. Either way, back on March 7th of this year, someone entered into the Urban Dictionary a definition, Blue and On. They got very, very popular. And here's what it is. Blue Anon is a loosely organized network of Democrat voters, politicians, and media personalities who spread left-wing conspiracy theories such as Russia hoax, Jussie Smollett hoax, the Ukraine hoax, Covington kids hoax, the Brett Kavanaugh hoax. Blue Anon adherents fervently believe that right-wing extremists are going to storm the Capitol Hill any day now and remove lawmakers from office. Everyone knows that Trump was a Russian plane. These are now you can.
Oh, the examples.
Yes. And here's another one. Bro, do you have any proof that Trump was a Russian plant? Yes. An unnamed source was quoted in the paper. Sounds like another Blue Anon. So this was the reason why this got so popular is because Urban Dictionary removed it. This is the place where you go
to find out sexual deviancy.
To find out what a cold Lenny is. You go on
I don't
to,
even know what it is.
You want to know what a cold Lenny is?
I don't want to know. I'm going to go and look.
No, you go on to Urban Dictionary to find out what a Cleveland steamer is. And they took Blue Anon off, which is actually so amazingly ironic because this quote. Because this definition here so perfectly encapsulates exactly what we're dealing with.
Yes.
And it also, on another respect, Tracy, shows the level of control that has really been affected here. That it's not just legacy media and the education. You're even talking dumpy little slang dictionary websites are all in line with making sure that nobody understands the real kind of bullshit we're dealing with right now.
Well, I think after the feud, BlueAnon ended up remaining. It's there still.
They put it back up?
Oh, yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess truth and justice prevailed.
Yeah. I mean, the top definition for Cold Lenny is something else. I don't. But back to the documentary. Apparently, the person who did the documentary has figured out who Q is and says that it's Ron Watkins.
Oh, yes. It's Code Monkey.
Yeah. And, you know, look, this has been going on for a long time. It's so frustrating to me, the whole thing. But this documentarian approached me several times and wanted me to be in this documentary years ago, like 3 years ago, seriously. And I refused. I wanted nothing to do with it whatsoever. I'm gonna be in it anyway, I'm sure, because he called me so many times, like wanting my side of the story. I'm like, I don't have a side of the story. I don't want to.
I thought you were Q, though.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. As per Vice, I am Q. That's going to come back to bite them in the ass a little bit. Yes. Yeah, this is all, it's all horrible. And, you know, it's even more horrible now because of the danger of it all, right? The danger of it all.
It's never been more dangerous. It never been more dangerous. I have always been lukewarm to the whole thing because, once again, 80% of the stuff, even probably more, that's talked about in there from a historical standpoint and just from a law enforcement standpoint, it really ran parallel to some of the best investigative work that was being done. So it became a internet treasure hunt, scavenger hunt kind of a thing for people who had never really looked into some of these deeper dive items. And I appreciated it from that standpoint. But aside from that, because it got so much into rapture dates and it got into...
It went off the deep end.
Yeah, no. Completely. So that's why I never, ever allowed myself to go... too deeply into it, just so that I can help people, encourage people to diversify their reading and take the training wheels off and be a little bit more independent about stuff. But that's not the dangerous part. Getting people to think, obviously.
No, I'm not thinking, talking about when I said it was dangerous. I didn't mean that. I'm talking about what the legacy.
Yes, I understand where you're going with it. I was getting to that.
Okay.
It's dangerous, of course, to the establishment that people start thinking differently and independently and, you know, outside the box regardless. But now it's so much more dangerous because it's been adopted by legacy media and the government to go and wage a war on civil liberties and what they believe to be domestic terrorism.
Yes.
So it's become dangerous in a real world situation. Very real world way now, where if you have had any kind of affinity for reading this blog, which at the very least it was one of the most popular blogs on the planet for a few years there, you may have a hard time riding in an airplane.
Well, and then when you have documentaries falsely accusing you of being behind it, that crosses the line for me. Into, now you're trying to like legitimately, even one of the articles talking about Ron Watkins says it's unclear whether criminal charges will be pressed against him for the Capitol insurgency on the 6th. Like, what? It's a crazy, crazy thing. The story is absolutely insane. I've told my side of it several times. There will be another time for you to read it, I'm sure, in the near future. But this documentary is coming out, but I laughed my butt off when I saw South Park the other day, Frank, because I don't care if you still follow Q or if you believe in it or whatever, it doesn't matter. That if you can't laugh at this, there's something wrong with you, in my opinion. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Listen to this.
Is this the vaccine episode, though?
Yes.
Okay. Some of this was really actually very disturbing.
It, the whole episode was disturbing, and I had no idea, to be honest, what they were trying to accomplish with it, other than, was it pro-vaccine? Was it, I don't know, it was very weird.
Yep.
But But this particular scene really made me chuckle. So here. So basically what happens is the Q people are trying to take over. It's confusing. Mr. Garrison, I guess, gets kicked out of the school because he declared that he was president, or something must have happened in another episode. I don't know. But he comes back and the Q people think he's like the chosen one, right? But the rest of the community absolutely hates him. And so he comes back and the parents of the kids that are in the Q, like the parents are in the QAnon group, and they bump into him in the supermarket and he basically curses them out. And then they have a meeting together, and this is what happens in the meeting here.
My friends, these are very dangerous times. Our country's future is at a precipice. And that is why I've called together every QAnon follower in our town.
Let's forget it, Bob. The bad guys won.
I feel like someone pooped on my life.
They didn't win. We just recently received a new coded message.
You got a message from Q?
Not from Q. From the Chosen One. Yes, we saw him in the produce section of the grocery store. And he said to me, blow shit out your dickhole. I immediately knew something was amiss because one can't move feces through their penis urinary tract. So I've been going over and over, and I realized, blow shit out dickhole, B-S-D-H. We all know what B-S is, but D-H? It didn't make sense. Until my wife reminded me that D-H are the initials of David Harris, the Anon from Akron, Ohio, who said that the elite use Latin to send coded messages. Out your dickhole, Anno Yanis Domini Home. Do what he does. The Chosen is teaching now. He's taking Q's message straight to the children, and he wants us to do the same.
With both the teachers?
There's an incredible shortage of teachers right now. He's trying to tell us that this is our time to strike. The elite want to f*** with our kids? We'll f*** theirs.
Yeah! Ugh. No. Well, they break down the decoding madness nicely, but I'll tell you, there's so much. It's very odd what happened with that whole thing, because of course that episode, they hit on everything from the Anon stuff, from the QAnon stuff to the vaccines, and it really didn't leave a good taste with me.
No,
because for so many years, Tracy, this show has put a dagger to all sides, and they have always called out absurdity, but aligned themselves with some pretty, I don't know, consistently. But this was almost like, I didn't appreciate the making a mockery of the idea that there would ever be a situation where children are being abused on a mass scale.
Right.
Like the whole idea being laughable in itself.
Yes.
I was really off put by the angle that they took on that.
There was a lot in this episode that we could literally probably decode the entire episode, haha, pun intended. We could go through the entire episode and try to kind of break it down. I didn't like it either. I didn't think that it was all that great. That scene made me laugh only because it was so spot on to what happens, if not satirically, right? But
yeah,
even in that one segment, like, they do a double entendre on it, and then they like have a reporter who's trying to prop up the kids who want to stop the vaccinations, and then that reporter gets completely smacked down. So it's very weird. Not my favorite episode. Didn't think it was all that good. Thought it was too, I don't know, it was nasty to anything that is contrary to the mainstream belief. And that's not typical of South Park. So you're right. Agreed.
If I can pose one thing though here though, it's we go from this episode that makes fun of what is a frantic level of dot connecting that happens all the time, and there have been really compelling threads. I have had so much fun reading it all. I was never not having fun, but when it comes to being able to get people back to that sleepy mode, of believing, oh yeah, you know what? All this is nonsense. No. And that's the most dangerous part here, outside of how the government has weaponized it and the media has weaponized it, is that 80%, if not more, of all of this material was very, very worth anybody's time reading into, finding books on the subjects and anything else like that. The way that the elite over centuries have diced the world up, and how we have arrived at this point right here. But the thing there too is, it takes away anybody's discernment, or people who are on the fence of whether or not they wanted to take a dive into some, I don't know, unapproved literature or not. It takes away a lot of that discernment or that level of curiosity, because then, of course, you have last night, everybody's watching this obviously doctored video of Joe Biden. You saw the green screen video, right?
Wait a second. Was this the one where he's in front of the press?
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe I didn't see the original. All I saw was what they clipped out.
It's a green screen. And now you can ask yourself, what is the point, or how much should we look on into this, that the supposed president who was about to jump onto Marine One or whatever, the helicopter supposedly there. Yeah, he walked toward the press and he answered a question outside. And what is the point of green screening him into this scenario where you can see his hand moving overlaps front. It overlaps one of the microphones, the boom mics. So it's obviously doctored through computer generated chicanery here. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? And now that's where your personal speculation comes on into it. But what you can't take out of this, what you can't take away from the situation, is that we are living under untold levels of deception.
Yeah.
Untold levels of deception. So do you say, oh, just stop it. Stop looking into it. It's probably just something, whatever. What are you, one of those Q people? No, you see, this is where it comes on into it.
No, I know. And the worst part of it all is, from what I followed, what the legacy media says about what supposed Q has posted is not actually what Q has posted. It's what people have turned it into. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's such a complex subject. And what I hear too is that, well, first of all, when this guy Cullen was doing this, he never told anyone he was with HBO, which I think is just disingenuous, unless he was joined up by them later. I don't know, but that's a strike off the bat. I don't know. There's been a lot of reviews, Frank, of it that say that it is complimentary of the movement, like in that it doesn't completely demonize the people involved and just kind of tells the story of why, but then never gets like there's been mixed reviews on it and saying like, these people shouldn't get any sympathy whatsoever. You can't make these likable people. How dare you? You know, whatever. Cause they call it extremism and you know, whatever. But Joe Biden's hand went in front of the microphones in what was supposedly a live press interaction. If that clip is legitimate, I have not seen the original. Have you seen the original?
Yeah, I've seen several uploads of it.
Does that actually happen in the original video?
Yeah, and from two angles, too.
Wow.
They have two, at least there's two main angles that I've seen this shot at.
God, and they're so messy.
But that's why I just wish. I mean, first of all, anybody, everything connects here. I was on the, you know, Tracy, I was on the boardwalk last week with the baby and Lauren, and we met up with my mom was there with a whole bunch of her friends and stuff, and they were all going back and forth. I may have told you this. Did I tell you this?
No.
They were all going back and forth about the vaccine, whether they're going to take it or not, and how some of them were asking some of their friends who work in clinics whether or not they can get them a fake vaccine certificate so that they can just flash it to people to shut them up. I started thinking to myself, isn't that something else? You know, 15, 20 years ago, everybody is looking all over the place to get their IDs chalked so they can get into bars under the age of 21. And now everybody's going to start looking for fake IDs to show people that they've had vaccines that they didn't want to get.
It's getting crazy. I have a bit on this too when you're done. So let's stay on the vaccine trip.
Yeah. Well, either way, I'm hanging out there, and And they bring on up things like, and so then they just start, you know, riffing on stuff. Oh, and what the hell was all this all about? I heard about Dr. Seuss, somebody else. Oh, and Frankie, what's this I heard about Mr. Potato Head? And I said, well, listen, my mom may think I'm nuts, but I'm telling you right now, I am probably the sanest person on this boardwalk. Everything connects. Everything connects. And why do I bring this up? Because even when you talk about Joe Biden, there's something wrong with this press conference. There was something wrong about his campaign, his candidacy. It was something wrong about the election. The election was tied into the pandemic. The pandemic, I mean, everything connects, everything. So this is another part of the reason why it is, you know, it's incumbent for people to do the little bit of a digging. And it's another reason why the other side wants to find some kind of a catch-all way of demonizing you for digging.
Yep. Yeah. I wonder if there'll be any enterprising reporter that will ask Biden, how come you were in front of a green screen during your interview the other day?
Yeah. Why are you doing green screen jobs with us?
Or are they going to, or is the press going to say, we had no access to this man? Like, when is somebody going to be brave enough to say something is terribly wrong here and it needs to stop? I mean, there was a new Veritas thing that came out the other day. Did you see that?
No.
It was an undercover expose with like the global development. He was a bigwig at Facebook. And he basically says they have to be broken up. It's getting dangerous now. And it's not going to end well if they don't break this company up, Facebook and Google. And they have to remove Zuck as the CEO as well. Like, it was terrifying. This guy is a huge major player at Facebook. Huge. And he's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? You know, the world is at stake here, basically. Mm. You know, he said there's never been a king who has been able to rule over 2 billion people. Mark Zuckerberg can.
Two billion
people.
Well, listen, they did everything for all their obsession with the Hitler and the Nazis. They did everything that Hitler wanted to do without firing a shot.
Yep.
They took Europe, the United States, without firing a shot. But I don't know. I have so many things to ask Dr. Shiva tonight.
I'm excited for that. That's going to be great. Yeah, how long do you have him on for?
I think about 45 minutes.
That's awesome.
I wrote most of the interview yesterday, though, so I want to make sure it's fine focused. And because there's so many, we're talking about pro-vaccine doctors and medical professionals.
Oh.
That are coming forward, like Gert Vanderbosch.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah. Now, there is a countering narrative to that story that was put out by, I'm looking for it here. Hold on just one second. This is what I wanted to talk about with you. So yeah, that's terrifying, isn't it? That whole Gert Vanderbosch open letter bit.
Yep.
We wrote an article about it at Uncovered DC yesterday and publicized the living daylights out of it, only to find in The Defender, Rosemary Frey writes a column about it, saying he bases his views on unproven hypotheses. Now, this is a health blog, okay? This is like a Children's Health Defense News and Views blog. This is a, like, our people blog. She says here, my experience as a former longtime medical writer and journalist, particularly a four-month stint with media relations giant Fleischmann Hillard in 1994, parentheses, yes, I've worked for the dark side. This has all of the hallmarks of a drug company AstroTurf campaign. It's another step in the decades-long erasure of the fact that our sophisticated and highly effective immune systems work well and don't need any assistance from the pharmaceutical company. And then she goes on to basically debunk everything that he said with data and facts and show that he is likely on a propaganda campaign for further vaccination. It is compelling, Frank. This weird whistleblower comes out, faces no penalty, starts talking about this. He's basically, at the end of all of it, advocating for more vaccination.
Well, that's why I keep hearing that what we're being set up for now, at least whoever has started themselves up with these shots, is going to be set up for cyclical injections year after year, maybe up to 5 shots a year. That because I've heard more, I've read more than one take on this, that it's almost like they're installing a operating system inside of you that's going to require updates.
And, you know, the worst part of it, too, is there was a Medscape article that came out yesterday, and it said in there, it says basically that gazillions more people were infected with coronavirus than we actually know. I'm going to find it really quickly because Medscape comes out with stuff all the time to try and scare the little daylights out of you. But this one says, come on. And yeah, computer updates, I agree. Why is this frozen? It's frozen. Why is my phone frozen, Frank? Why?
It's not my fault.
Wow, I can't select this link. Hold on. Bear with me. Here it is. Okay, the title of it is U.S. COVID Infections More Widespread Than Thought. A study evaluating asymptomatic adults for COVID-19 would add another 16 million to the total number of SARS-CoV-2 infections in the United States, at least up to September of 2020. Which means herd immunity has already been, I'm telling you, has already been reached. That's why you're seeing the plateau of these cases everywhere. Like, I think in all of South Carolina yesterday, we had like, I don't know, I think it was less than 100 new cases in the entire state. I think that we've reached herd immunity. This vaccine that they're shoving down everybody's throat. Even Donald Trump came out yesterday. And while he did say, you know, it's a personal choice, I think you should get this vaccine. Listen, Donald Trump, I respect you and I love you, but you're out of your mind on this. You're off your damn rocker on it. I don't know what the obsession with this vaccine is, Frank, but it is absolutely terrifying.
It is. There is no, people have tried to tell me why the president must be on this path with promoting it, and there is no redeeming argument for it.
I don't care how political you need to be. I don't care.
No, there's no redeeming. Never has been.
And he even said this is the worst part of it, in his clip with Maria Bartiromo yesterday, Frank, he said, we took a chance on this and we poured all this money into it before we knew that it would work. It was a new technology. I'm like, that's exactly what we're all saying. We don't want to take it. We don't want to be in the world's biggest clinical trial ever created.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I loved that interview that Anthony Fauci got himself ensnared in with that comedian. Because finally somebody was pressing him on a very valid question, and that is the difference between FDA approval, even though the FDA is not a very trustworthy organization, regardless of whether or not it approved a drug or a therapy that was in clinical trials for over a decade or not. The FDA has done a lot of things that have prevented progress or just, rubber stamped things that were toxic. But either way, the fact that he was caught in this trap of having to badly explain the fact that the FDA did not approve any of these drugs, they granted emergency use authorization, which is just a legalized way of allowing people to go on out there and conduct clinical trials on the public. That's it. I mean, they're allowing for human trials on the public, and they've legalized it for themselves. They have legal cover for this, for three therapies.
And not for nothing, but they could say whatever they want. The fact that all of these countries are stopping the introduction of the AstraZeneca vaccine is telling to me. New Zealand, Germany, there's been several of them. South Africa, that have halted the AstraZeneca, you know, because of the clotting disorders it seems to be producing. And then they say, well, there's no real evidence, you know, there's no real evidence to back, you'll never be able to tie a death to a vaccine and blah, 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 and this and that. All this stuff happens naturally if you look at the sample size of the population. Yeah. Lovely. Oh, well, there have been 20 million people who have, you know, gotten this and been fine. Yeah, okay. And, you know, there was a 12-minute long video with somebody from Israel basically like pleading saying we are now, we're guinea pigs. We don't have control over our own bodies anymore. We're basically prisoners in our own country if we don't take this vaccine, and we don't have a choice. That is terrifying.
Yeah. I've read a lot of those testimonies coming out of Israel as well.
That is really terrifying to me. There is nothing that would make me get that shot. Literally nothing. I'm good. I'll take my chances. But I was happy to read that there is a maybe a method to the madness behind what that doctor was doing, and that maybe the end of the world isn't right around the corner. That was nice to read.
So. I'm just hoping, you know, at this point with the millions that have already gotten it, and if we all have friends and family that have lined up for it. Yeah. And that in itself is scary, because it's not, when it gets to that point, it's not enough that, okay, well, at least I didn't get it. You don't want people you love to be harmed. And so there's that going on, but then there's also the flip side of the whole thing is that not only are people speculating and worried about and medical professionals, people who are pro-vaccine, worried about autoimmune fallout that might be rearing its head in the months and years to come. But it's the flip side of that affects us all, is that the other thing that they're worried about is that these people who become inoculated and with this vaccine also become pretty much breeding grounds for rapidly mutating viruses that in any other circumstances would be considered common, that are now all of a sudden gaining function, and people have been turned into virtual incubators for this kind of stuff that may be able to affect all of us. So those are the theories that worry me a little bit, that I want to gain some clarity on, hopefully tonight and in the future with anybody else that we have conversations with.
Yeah, that stuff is, it's scary to think about, but a lot of it doesn't make logical sense to me the way they explain it. Like, especially not, Frank, if we've already reached herd immunity for COVID as a society, as a humanity, because then there are still no hosts. Like, the argument assumes that not enough people have been infected with coronavirus yet, so it will continue to find new hosts to infect. You see what I'm saying? But that's not true. I think we have had herd immunity reached with coronavirus. And I think that some of the other strains that have even been found are not more deadly. Viruses usually mutate downwards in strength, Frank.
Yes. Yes. I mean, if things will naturally progress however they do. I just don't know. Maybe people were worried that the opposite could happen in this respect, because there's a chemical agent that is at work that nobody knows anything really about.
So once the virus is the protein is introduced into the cell by this vaccine, that the body will create antibodies to it, and the virus will then mutate while it is multiplying inside the body in order to evade those antibodies? Is that what the argument is, basically?
I guess so. I guess. That's how I've heard – I've read it from a couple of places. I think – I don't know if Gert van der Bosch talked about that.
He did.
Okay, so he did, and I know for sure – Dr. Sherry Tenpenny went into detail about the whole antibody scenario, the breakdown, and how it could actually become, boomerang in that respect.
Dr. Tenpenny has been on an absolute tear with this.
Yeah, I know. And I can't – everybody has scooped her up so quick that I couldn't get a date with her on the show until June 8th.
See, I know, and this is how I look at it, to be honest. The more and we're going to have an op-ed that comes out from Michelle, the amazing, brilliant writer who wrote the story about his piece, like the stuff that he was saying. I kick myself in a way, because that story was so sensational and so crazy and so easily believable given the state of affairs that we are in right now. Rogue whistleblower comes forward from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to discuss how this vaccine is not bad. These vaccines aren't bad. Vaccines aren't bad as a whole, but this particular vaccine is going to kill the human race, and here's how. And it was so... It fit right, nestled right into everybody's confirmation bias so soundly that we all thought, oh my God, we have to stop this because we're good people and we want to stop. We're anti this vaccine as it is. And it made me stop for a second and realize that we made a huge error in printing that story. Huge error. Something that we vowed we would never do. And that is jump on something like that without taking a few minutes. We took a couple days, but taking time to understand and vet and research the other side of that argument. We didn't do it, and now we're going to apologize for it and show the other side of the argument, which we're doing more in-depth research into now. Because it's too easy to feed into that hysteria. And you think about it, what would be their motivation to kill off everybody, Frank? They'd have no more slaves.
Yeah, I guess. Or at least a greatly reduced one. I mean, there's 8 billion insects on the planet as they look at it.
Yeah, I know. But how many people have been vaccinated? Tens and tens and tens, if not hundreds of million people have been vaccinated right now.
I know. Well, if you're going to go into conspiracy land,
then look no further than those cozy Georgia Guidestones.
Why? What did the Georgia Guidestones say?
The Georgia Guidestones, written in multiple languages, the advice as to how to run the world in an optimal setting is to maintain a world population of no more than 500 million. That's a public monument right there. 500 million. We're at 8 billion right now.
Well, and people die every single day, Frank.
Yes. But not in the numbers that are ever going to get us down to that again.
More than enough space for everybody to coexist. And if we
I know. Oh, yeah. I have no problem with the space that's been allotted for our species here. No problem whatsoever. I still think as of a couple of years ago, people were doing those estimations that if you took the world population and brought them all into Texas alone, you can give everybody a 1,000 square foot apartment or something like that. And everybody can, well, it'd be a little snug, but the planet is wide open.
You know, people are starting to discover, that's interesting to me, and we got to end a little bit early today because I have a couple of interviews to do. You know what people are starting to discover?
What?
The Denver airport paintings.
Oh, Blucifer.
Yes.
And of course the blue horse, the stallion out front, Blucifer.
There's a lot of things in the Denver airport, and nobody really paid any attention to them until now. Because
there's a city block underneath the Denver airport that they supposedly abandoned. They said, "Oh, we built it wrong. We're going to just scrap this whole thing."
Whoops!
There's a city. There's a city block underneath it. So I did a whole show on that, speculating further about whether or not that was a main hub of a vast network of underground tunnels and highways under our country. And actually, the way that I think I framed it, I asked the question: is the Denver airport to the Western Hemisphere what the Iraqi embassy is to the Eastern Hemisphere? That we built out there, that $1 billion-plus embassy, because it's obviously a place that was built for a force that never intended to leave ever again. And there's too much money being made out there in the Middle East.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, got a little of everything in today's show, Frank.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And on Friday, we will be joined by Claire Lopez. That's going to be a good interview. And then Monday, General Flynn. That should be good also. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Gray Gloomy Val and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Friday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.